All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's the weekend. It's upon us. It's a Friday. That means F yeah. And that means we are going to have some fun. We have a spotlight on a comedian that is a self-promoting, righteous, look-at-me kind of guy. Oh, that's right. No, it's the headline. Look, this is a big weekend, people. Can we just talk for a quick second?
I was going to say,
this
how
is
many
a big freaking weekend.
I was going to see how many different ways you could bag on me in that the moment there. But you held back. Good for you.
This is big. You go you start from the factor. Last night, you go from Isaiah to the Book of Barry all weekend with two shows nightly, tip your bartenders and waitstaff, headlining at the Joke Joint
for
the next 2 nights.
Try the veal. I am a wreck today.
More so than usual. You had to drive all the way to the studio and drive all the way back, I'm assuming.
Last night, I had to go home and sit there. And let me just tell you, first of all, I just want to thank Isaiah Carey and his producer Maggie for having me on. That was really cool of them to let me come on there. And there wasn't like when I was talking to some media folk about, you know, wanting to promote my show for the weekend, they were all like, well, you should have a, like, this was one advice that someone gave me. They go, you need to figure out a way to involve JJ Watt. I was like, what? Yeah, no one's going to want to talk to you if you can't, and if there's no like JJ Watt or something, or a kid with cancer. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There's, what happened?
Why is it
got to
be one of those two?
I don't know. So I was like, all right.
Seriously, tell you that.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to mention any names.
Call them out.
No.
Be like you. Come on. Tell them right
now. I know.
You can
do that
on,
every time.
Call them out.
You do that. But so first of all, so thank you to them for just, you know, I feel like I want to say having a leap of faith by just letting me come in and just talk. I mean, I felt like a lot of times in this town, media personalities will help each other. We promote for each other. So I don't know why they would be like, well, you really need an angle. Like, really? I guess being on ESPN Radio and a stand-up comedian that's from Houston that's headlining isn't enough.
Yeah, that's not enough of an angle.
It's not enough, huh? You need more? Okay.
Week after Super Bowl, sports stuff happening.
Yeah, how about I bring I've got the legendary Andy Huggins with me. Is that enough? So, and I got to, you know, mention him, so I was excited about that. But yeah, they were just like, yeah, come on the show. Let's just talk comedy, which was so badass. No one wants to do that.
Right.
So I appreciate what they did very much so. And I'm hoping that we can get Isaiah on this show to return the favor in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, so I went home. The only thing was this. So I said, I got all that to say, I had no idea what we were going to talk about last night. No clue. So from 5 o'clock when I got home till 9:15 when I left to go to head to the studio, I'm freaking out because you guys know me. I Joel's going to insert a joke here, but I like to be prepared. I like to know what we're going to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right.
Joel, not so much.
See how I cut you off?
No, we like to prepare. Joel likes to prepare. Everybody likes to prepare.
Yeah, but I'm saying you like to, but Joel will tell you that I don't.
I didn't say a word.
That's because I cut you off.
After you set it up like that, I'm not going to say a word.
I took your fun away. But yeah, I mean, I like to at least know, because I thought, all right, I'm a sports guy. Are we going to talk Olympics? So I wrote all these terrible Olympics jokes ready to go for TV, right? And I was like, all right, well, maybe we're going to talk NBA draft. And I was like, you know, it's different when you're on the radio and you have a laptop in front of you and you can reference the trades because you can't remember all the names because there was stuff. And I'm like, I have none of that on TV. I have to sit here and memorize all these stupid-ass trades and every name and who got who. Oh, hell. So I'm freaking out. And then I get there and I'm thinking, all right, well, when I get here, I'll know what I can dump from my head and what I need to keep. So I get there and the mic guy's like, yeah, I'm not going to mic you right away. You're going to go on at like 10:45. I'll mic you. Then I was like, cool. I was like, by the way, do you know what I'm talking about? And he looks at the sheet and he goes, yeah, it doesn't say anything. I was like, what? Who can tell me? And Maggie was like, sorry, I couldn't have came out, but we had a fire I had to put out. So no one could tell me what we were talking about. And I'm freaking out. They're like, okay, you're up.
I don't know if you know this, though, Barry, but the best way sometimes to come out and do anything broadcasting, especially live, is just do it organically. Just let it come
like
to you.
Today?
Just like any day.
It's funny that I would mention how much we love to prep today, yeah, of all days, yeah, with no prep. Yeah. But so they're like, okay, now here's the deal. So you're going to go on stage and you guys are going to talk, and then he's going to leave. He's going to walk off, but don't get up. And this is the producer, like, I guess at the camera, she's like, but don't get up and until he's gone over to this next part of the set, because the camera's going to be. I was like, so you don't want me to follow him? She goes, and it was like five. And she was like, oh God, no. I was like, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. So then I go and I sit down, and I don't know if you watched the whole show, either of you.
I did.
But at the beginning, they had this story about the juvenile detention facility.
Exactly.
Where they don't have toothbrushes.
Exactly. I saw that. Yeah.
Use your finger.
And, yeah, which I think is horrible,
crazy,
by the way.
Yeah. And splitting of the bar soap, the bars, that's crazy.
But, yeah, it's terrible. I'm glad he said something about it. I mean, we can find money for a lot of other stuff. We can't find money for toothbrushes for these kids. It's ridiculous.
But my man with the bad sport coat, when he brought that toothbrush out.
That's what I was about to say.
Oh, you were?
Because he goes, because I'm watching and I'm like, yeah, get him, guys. And he's like, you know what? And he pulled out this toothbrush like it was Excalibur sword. He goes, they're just trying to brush this under the rug or something. I don't remember what he said, but I was like, oh. I didn't know we could bring props.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a Reach or one of the brand names of toothbrush, but he pulled
it out.
He's
reaching? I see what you did there.
Yeah, because not only was he reaching, but he pulled it out, and then he does the taps it on the desk a few times and then brings it back up like, look what I got.
He made the first mistake because he used the joke twice. You never repeat a joke. If nobody heard it, just keep moving, because if nobody reacted, it might have just been bad. So he said the joke or the toothbrush pun, and then he said it again. But I get it. I mean, he was making a point, and that's fine. So when we sat down right before we're going live, and you know, I was like, hey, Isaiah, nice to meet you. So nice to meet you, too. I was like, hey, listen, man, I'm sorry, but I didn't bring a toothbrush or anything. And he started laughing. I was like, yeah, I didn't know I'm not a prop comic. I didn't know we were allowed props. And he was like, no, you're good. And then we just went, and I was trying to look at his notes right before, you know, they're counting you down, five,
he
four.
He didn't have any either.
No, he did. He had my name and the show dates and all. He was fully prepared. But I was just trying to see what topic, what the hell are we going to talk about? I literally had no clue. So I was freaking out in my mind.
Because you're used to doing this medium.
Yes.
You go to do that, and you would have liked, that's because, like, when I do Channel 2, Randy and Wex will be like, hey, we want you to come on. We're going to talk about this, but we still want to get your expertise on this or this or this. Then we'll have, like, a conversation so that they can go, oh, that's good. Use that, too. And then say, okay, well, we'll start with this. We'll eventually get to this, and then we'll probably wrap with this.
But could you imagine with how much stuff that they cover to have to do that with every person that's going to be there for 2 minutes?
Well, for
or
guests,
three,
though, yeah. And
that would be a lot
and
more
at least
difficult.
When they do it, you know you're going to be on for a full segment.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I thought you got rooked. I thought you should have been on a lot longer because of the fact that, you know, you're there in studio and you saw some of these other guests that were on. I'm like, that's it?
Hey,
that's all
not,
he got?
Hey, I'm never going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I appreciate the three minutes
that,
that I was
Nick
on.
And I were both bitter, and we were texting and tweeting about the fact that we didn't even get a mention because it was, like, too short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was
didn't
the other
see
thing.
ESPN on there. Didn't see nothing.
Oh, he said I had my he hosts a weekly or a daily show on ESPN.
He hosts his own show every day.
On ESPN.
Thanks.
Which is true.
Yeah, he hosts his own show.
I do host a show. No, he said host a show.
Well, in my mind, he said he hosts his own show. Yeah.
Solo.
Yeah.
But it was so cool, man, and I was really excited about it, and I was thankful. But you're right. The fact that, like, when I first started radio 5 years ago on Sundays, I would get so nervous when I would get here. But it's like anything else. The more you do it, this microphone, to us, this is just the three of us talking all
day. Yeah, it's just reps.
Sometimes we forget there's people listening. I know. I mean, I do.
I know I do sometimes.
I feel like it's just like we would have these conversations if we were at a bar.
Yeah.
And that's how we like it. That's what we want. We want people to feel like they're hanging out
or
in the
living room. Yeah.
Whatever. And so so this doesn't make me nervous. And getting on stage in front of hundreds of people doesn't make me nervous. I've been doing that for 5 years. But what I don't do is TV. So I was actually nervous. And
that's natural.
And I was sitting there and my mouth started getting dry as we're going live. I thought, really? I'm going to be that guy? I'm going to be a smacking guy. If you go back and look at the video at the beginning, I'm licking my lips a lot because I was like, please don't And my mind is just going, please don't get dry mouth right now. You are going to look like every comedian in this city that knows you is going to make
the
fun
pink.
Of you.
You could, right before you went on, you could have just gone and taken out the lozenge or piece of gum you had in your mouth.
True. Yanked,
just thrown it on the set floor. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, but it was cool, man. He was great. Maggie was great. Everybody there was great. I couldn't be more appreciative of them letting us go up there and talk comedy and plug the show.
So. Boy, Nick busting your balls on Twitter.
About weighing?
Yeah, about weighing in 5 times before you went on.
I tell you what, I'm glad I ran every day. I was like, look at that. You can even see my jawline. I'm pretty pumped about that. Because you could last Thursday night, you could not see my jawline. I put in work to get that jawline exposed, all right? I've been running every day. Although, I did stress eat today.
What's it? It's natural,
I stopped and got fast food on the way up here.
Uh-oh.
But I just a chicken sandwich and waffle fries.
Moe's going to find out you're cheating on him.
I know. He's going to be pissed. So is Healthy Gourmet.
Barry's going to call, too, from Healthy Gourmet. They're lining up to come back at you.
Yeah.
I totally relate to what you're saying, though, too, because after doing radio for so many years, you just turn it on and it's there. You're just talking. Doing the TV, the little stints on Channel 2 or doing the Rocket stuff or doing the interviews or doing the shows we did for Rockets TV, no problem. The ones where which you excel at that I have a problem with is I can be the most prepared in the world to go do like a speaking engagement. Like I had to speak to the board of directors from Mahindra and all of their managers and all of their regional managers. I'm fine until right before I go up there and I'm like, what if these people don't get it and aren't sport, they don't understand the analogies with sports, and then they ask me questions relating to like their tractors. I'm gonna be like, I'm screwed. So you always fear the worst, which basically puts that in the back of your head, like to give you the dry mouth, to give you. But then once you just get up there and start doing your thing, you can relax.
Yeah, it's totally different. Yeah, I'm with you. It just depends on what you're comfortable with and what you're not. I've never really had a problem with public speaking in front of people. So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, it just varies. But speaking of eating right, I got to plug my guys over at healthygourmet.com because I mentioned the jawline. I'm not kidding you. And these guys can tell you. They saw me last Thursday. I look completely different in a week. And I'll tell you what I did. It was real easy. I ate Healthy Gourmet all week. I had 3 meals a day. I ate Healthy Gourmet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I had 1 meal a piece plus a piece of fruit, and I ran. Now I want you to log on to healthygourmet.com today, and you get started. Go see your jawline again because they're ready to eat. It tastes good, and it'll fill you up. All the things you need to be successful and lose weight. Plus, here's the great thing about healthygourmet.com. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean up after you cook. You don't have to meal prep. You don't have to clean up after you eat. It's in a cart and you throw it away. You don't even have to go to the store. They deliver it to your home. Why wouldn't you use this? HealthyGourmet.com makes dieting so easy. I'm so thankful that I had them this week, or I would have been really stressed out and really stress eating all week. And the cool thing is, like, if you're on a paleo diet or low carb or vegan, gluten-free, doesn't matter. They have a meal plan for you, and you can customize it. Maybe you want a little carbs on Tuesday and Thursday or whatever. It's all customizable, and there's no minimum orders, no commitments. You just order it, and it's delivered to your home. No prep, no cooking, no driving. Couldn't be easier. And if you use promo code ESPN975, you're going to save 10% on your order. And if you order $99 or more, it's going to be delivered for free. So log on today, healthygourmet.com. Log on and start losing weight right now.
ESPN975. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Fast food makes it so easy to eat bad. And I told my wife that, and she goes, well, sweetie, just go to McDonald's and get a salad. Yeah, I had to break it down for her. I was like, baby, listen, going to McDonald's for a salad is like going to a hooker for a hug. I'm not. I'm not paying for that. I'm definitely not paying for that.
Hey, you might recognize that voice. He's an African-American male of Jewish descent.
All right.
That can really bring it.
You're really going to confuse. I had some guy tweet me a couple days ago. He was like, dude, I've been a fan of yours for about 3 months now. and I just followed you on Twitter, and I had no idea you were white. My whole world is upside down right now.
Well,
I was like, yeah, well.
Nick had some thoughts on that, too, after last night. But the main thing is, Nick had some thoughts on that last night.
What do you mean?
I mean, on the show,
yeah.
I couldn't help but notice.
What?
You're like the only white guy on that show.
So Nick was like, yeah, they didn't look at your picture on Twitter.
they only heard your voice.
They heard you on radio. We need to get that black guy on.
That's hilarious, dude.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice that. No, there were folks that were not black. The segment after me when they did the 50 Shades of whatever.
Oh, I missed that.
I did too.
Yeah, those guys.
I was only tuning in for you, Barry.
Aww,
yeah. I think I missed it. I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was right after me. They weren't black.
Oh, right after I turned it off, I was like, well, in my mind, he got screwed. He should have been on longer.
Oh, hush.
I turned it off.
I appreciate it, but no, I'm super grateful. And I'm also like that clip that we just played about the salad thing. Maggie had asked me to send her, you know, a set, and I guess I had no idea they were going to play a clip coming back from commercial, which was really cool too, to know that. One of my clips got to be played out there for folks to hear that have never heard of me before.
26,
so, yeah, that was cool, man. I appreciate that all the way around. First class treatment.
No, absolutely. It was cool. And then the other thing I noticed was you've lost a lot of weight since you did that stand-up set. Yes. I literally did. I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
When was that filmed?
Uh-huh. You see, and that was a year ago. That was Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And I think I was, that's when I was getting close to 200, 210 maybe. Yeah, and I was 187 this morning before I ate bad.
How bad did you eat?
I feel so bad. I mean, like I said, I just had a Chick-fil-A sandwich and some waffle fries.
Okay.
Not terrible, but I got my 4 miles in today. I probably could have ran 20 miles today. I was just so, like, you know, I was just going over my set list because I kind of rewrote everything. And I wasn't thinking about running. I was thinking about the set list. Before I knew it, I was back. I was like, damn. That went fast. I knew I wasn't tired. I wasn't breathing heavy. It's crazy.
So that's what you do when you're really super focused and you know,
yeah.
And you got a little anxiety, you're anticipating. Yeah, you can. There are days when you can just run forever.
Yeah, it's so weird. And then days where you're like, man, I'm not going to make it a mile. By the way, do we know what happened on this desk? What is this? Can you see this?
I can't. What's
There's
on it?
There's a residue of like a white substance right in front of Barry.
What did they talk this about today that got him so excited? Because this is disgusting.
Maybe it's,
I don't. Did he eat? Did he mention his name?
So there's no doubt he'll come in and tell you about it in the next 5 minutes.
Well, I would like to know. I hope he does come down here. Raheel, get down here and tell me why you've made a mess. And what the hell my hand has been sitting
maybe
in for.
Maybe a glazed donut.
I'm telling you what, Nick doesn't need to go running. Because the material he comes up with just when he's like between last night's Twitter and the thing in the production meeting today, I'm like, just keep rolling, brother. It's going.
Making fun of me weighing.
He's in his groove right now.
Because I got a haircut. Which, hey, shout out to Jason at Kirk Cuts for hooking it up.
Oh, is that where you went before?
Had me looking fly, yeah. I went right after the show. I had an appointment with him because I was like, yep, big weekend. I'm going to get my hair did. I'm going to do TV. He's like, yeah, man, I'll fit you in. Just come over.
That's awesome.
Jumped in, and yeah, he did it upright.
See, Jason always has been the guy that is a front runner that gravitates to celebs. So, you know, once he found out you're going to be on TV, it's like parting the Red Sea. All of a sudden, the schedule opens up. I'll work you in as a factor.
Instead of
you're fifth on deck for 4 spots.
He's a beast like that, man. I can't recommend Current Cuts enough. So go out there, too.
There you go.
So did I miss anything sports-wise last night?
Well, the inaugural, but you and I were on the selection committee for the inaugural Houston Sports Awards, along with every other sports person. Well, I think people in the media were asked to participate.
Right.
And we actively participated, and we actually put some thought into it. And,
true.
It went down. I did not want to go. I wanted to spend more time with my family because that is rare that we get opportunities. So I did not go, but it was on TV. And it looks like the whole thing was a big success. And the big spinoff out of the whole thing was the fact that they're going to now have a Houston Sports Hall of Fame in which the 34s will be the first three to be inducted.
Okay.
And they're going to continue
to do that.
That will be in the next 6 months. I think it's going to be somewhere in downtown. But I think that was a neat little kind of add-on to what was
cool.
already a cool event. Patti Smith, the longtime announcer for Fox Sports, and she's been in the market forever. She's the one that headed up this entire thing for the Sports Authority. I thought
really?
She did a fantastic job.
It looked real official. You mm-hmm. know, you can always tell. Now, I did tune in briefly before I left, mm-hmm. Or before I started doing some stuff. And they were having some audio issues. It was right. It was right when Vandermeer and Andre Ware were introducing Harris County Judge
Ed Emmett.
Ed Emmett, and then he introduced J.J. Watt, and there was a bit of an audio snafu, and it was kind of bad. And
talking about on 26?
No.
On
AT&T Sports Network for the Houston Sports Awards. But they were showing when I got to the Fox 26, they were showing video of, and it looked first class.
Elegant, yeah. Good
I mean,
stage.
There was like a runway, and you know they showed the Fox 26 had interviewed Earl Campbell, mm-hmm. and everything just looked real official. And to me, that's how you can tell if an award show has been planned properly, because like the pre-show and the area and it all, it whether it looks cheap or not. And it did not.
The step and repeat was perfect. It was a blue carpet. They did something with a sponsor where they did a blue carpet, but they had
probably Academy
where everybody got to. I wasn't giving any free plugs. I'm not exactly who sure it was, but you know.
Well, after the way that Dix did you.
Yeah. So, but no, you're right. They did it all first class.
Uh-huh.
And you could tell that the people that participated, you could tell. They were really enjoying it, too. Like, they were glad that they were there. They were glad that the fact that they got Rudy T to fly in.
Man.
To talk about and introduce Akeem.
That's
and
cool.
And then to show a lot of the former players that played with Akeem and for Rudy behind him, including our own Mario Elie, friend of the show. And everything. I thought that was really classy.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, I'm going to ask you something that might be hard for you. Only because you weren't born and raised here,
right?
All right, mm-hmm. But Nick, you're a native Houstonian. Yep. You were born and raised here,
uh-huh.
So I'm going to ask you this as well. But and this goes for the listeners. If you guys want to hit us up, Twitter, text 713-780-3776, whatever. Who do you think of the 334s is the most loved? Is it Olajuwon? Is it Nolan Ryan? Or is it Earl Campbell? Who do you think if one was going to rise above the others? Who do you think it would be?
Are we doing this now or after
I'm not
the
asking,
break?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it after the break.
All right.
But, like, I'm not asking, like, who your personal favorite is of the three.
Yeah.
Who do you think overall, if there was some vote, a popularity vote, who do you think would win that vote?
You want me to say it now
I'm
or
curious.
After the
I mean,
break?
If you have it, go ahead.
I mean, my breakdown of it is simple. I think Nolan played for other teams. He started with the Mets. He played for the Angels. Yes, he had good years with the Astros, but he also had a stint with the Rangers. So I think that for as good as he was and as good for the city as he was, I wouldn't put him in the final decision of, like, the if you're going to ask...
He'd be third.
One athlete, yeah.
Okay.
So I think it comes down to Akeem and Earl, and I think that...
Okay, can I play devil's advocate real quick?
Yeah.
Both of them played for other teams. Earl went to New Orleans, and
Toronto
Akeem went to Toronto.
No, I'm aware of that, but I'm saying he had multiple stops.
Not yet. They didn't go and get more no-hitters like Nolan
right.
did.
Right, and World Series appearances
yeah.
and all the
and
things
And then go
that
and
did.
Work for those
right.
teams. Yeah,
so,
I'm with you.
So I'm down to two, and then... To me, Earl's career was cut short by injury, but he was just a workhorse. But I would say Akeem just because of the longevity, because of the championships that the city had never seen before. For all those reasons, I would go Akeem, Earl, Nolan.
Okay.
That's the way I would go.
I mean, I would have picked Akeem too. I think and the eras have a little bit something to do with that. Like maybe if you asked me that question, you know, or you ask people old enough that question 10, 15, 20 years ago, you might say Earl Campbell. But now... I think it's easier to say Hakeem only because he was just a little bit younger, you know, and he made his mark in sports history after Earl. But yeah, I mean, I was between Earl and Hakeem. I'm going to go ahead and put Hakeem up. I was afraid not to put Nolan, honestly, until you said everything that you said, because I'm not the baseball guy here.
Right.
So I was afraid not to put him up there. But yeah, I would pick Hakeem.
Okay. I'll pick after the break.
Okay. That All sounds right. good. Charlie's going to join us next, too, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, as we always do Mondays and Fridays to book in the weekend. It's going to be Charlie Pulillo as a person of interest with the usual suspects. So we'll continue to kick that around, talk about some other things with Charles. and take you up till 2 o'clock in the first hour of the show. But right now, Barry has some important information.
Yeah, if you are looking to sell your home, let's say you need to sell your home quickly because you need cash. And it doesn't matter the reason, whether it's you've got back taxes issues or maybe you owe your HOA dues for the past couple of years and it's just easier for you to go ahead and move on. Or you're going through a divorce and you guys can't decide who's going to get the house. So you need to sell it and just split the cash that you make from it. Or you're in a bankruptcy. It doesn't matter. Foreclosure, unemployment, waiting on a FEMA check. Guys, listen, I want you to call Gulf State Home Buyers at 281-717-6100. The reason I want you to call them is they come out, they'll give you a no obligation cash offer on your home. And then you can take that and you can figure out what to do with it based on your situation. The cool thing is, once you get involved with Gulf State, they handle all the paperwork from the beginning of the process all the way through closing. So you're not going through all the work and doing the heavy lifting. That's what Gulf State Home Buyers is there for you. 281-717-6100 is the number. You call them, you get engaged, then you sit back and relax and let their professionals take care of everything. They've got attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff ready to show you a stress-free way to sell your home. 281-717-6100 is the number. Call them now, get an understanding of your situation, whether it's title issues or you just need to close quick and get some cash. They're there for you. Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, add Charlie Palillo to that list because he joins us like a bookend Mondays and Fridays on The Usual Suspects. He is the host of his own show without title. I guess that's just because he's been in the market long enough he can do those kind of things. He is on Sports Map 94.1 FM, our sister station, 11 to 1 Monday through Friday. Then he hops over on those first and last days to join us for a half hour. So, Charles, as always, welcome in.
I don't have a staff to have focus groups to come up with a name.
Joe George is as big as a staff.
They just stuck my name on it.
I was going to say, so your show doesn't have like The Usual Suspects or The Blitz or...
The Charlie Palillo Show.
If you were going to have one, what
oozing
would you
cleverness?
What would you if you could do whatever?
Charles,
have you ever
charge.
Thought of one? Yeah, like Charles in charge.
Huh? No, that would even
11
even
o'clock
even
Charlie.
With the recent turn of events that would not have been
11 o'clock Charlie.
No, can't say I've applied myself to this.
Okay,
I'm here. Let's talk.
All right. Well, so question of the day.
No, I meant that as a show title.
That's the name. I thought you just meant you wanted to talk.
Coffee talk? No.
Yeah.
Oh, Joel.
Come on. I'm feeling verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves.
So I asked before the break, I asked these guys, because the Houston Sports Awards were last night and they honored the 34s. The question was not which of the 34s is your favorite, because I don't think that it would be fair to, you know, I mean, for me, it's going to be difficult to pick one because they all have special meaning for me. But if there was a popularity vote, who do you think of the 334s would win? And so we've got some folks on hold that we'll get to, but I'm curious what your answer is. And my answer, I'm with Joel and Nick. I think Olajuwon, because he brought the championships. And I know this is a football town, and I know how devastated my dad was when Nolan Ryan left and was let go. He felt like the Astros let him go. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at it, it's the rings that mean the most to the city. And I would say if there was a vote, Olajuwon would win.
Yeah, be generational, right?
You
nobody,
think?
Nobody younger than 45 to 50 has any recollection of Earl.
True,
mm-hmm. And so, they need to.
So that would hurt him. To me, in the end, it is Olajuwon, which may include the bias of I got here after Nolan left, and
okay.
You know, I was a kid when Earl was doing his thing, but very aware of it. But number one, granted, team sport understood, but dream finished like no other, until the 2017 Astros. And the breadth of Olajuwon's greatness from second year in the league, they're in the finals, and then almost a decade later, they go back-to-back, right? Earl was the rich man's Terrell Davis.
I like
three
it.
Unbelievable years, but three.
Yeah.
And without even going to a Super Bowl, much less winning a Super Bowl. And I think one element that cuts against Nolan, I think he's the most legendary figure of the three. 27 years, good old-fashioned hardball. But he only played once every 5 days.
Yeah.
Whereas every time the Oilers were playing Love You Blue, it was about Earl.
Well, and I mentioned he played multiple teams
yeah.
And achieved things with those other teams.
Yeah, you go get no-hitters in Dallas and people aren't – that you lose a little bit of your shine.
The cap on the on the plaque is an R.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a big thing too, right?
You wanna find out?
Yeah, go ahead. Pick
one. Let's go with Chuck.
It's our boy Chuck.
Chuck wants to chime in on this. Chuck, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
There he is. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, Chuck?
Oh, not much, man. I gotta go with Olajuwon for one reason and one reason only. Well, actually, two reasons. He brought the championship, and among his contemporaries, his star is still rising. In fact, on one site, they got him already up to number three all time as far as great players. And if you look at Olajuwon,
that's
what he did, it's amazing. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate
good
it, Chuck.
Good to hear from you, Chuck. Thanks
I would think younger than 40, Olajuwon should win in a walk.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people in this town that have been here through Nolan, Ryan, and Earl, so that those votes are going to count, too.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm with you. It might be a generational thing. Mark wants to chime in. Mark, what's up?
No, what's up, guys? For sure, for me, and I think as y'all were saying, it's a generational thing, but Olajuwon with championships and all that. But the thing with Nolan, I think the reason why he's third on my list, and I think he would be third and probably if he did a whole vote of Houston, is for what Charlie said earlier, that are on that plaque of the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Fair enough, man. Fair enough, Mark. Yeah, I'm just curious what people, and again, I don't want how you would vote, how the vote would turn out. Because some people are saying Earl. Some people are saying this is a football town. And the Love You Blue era of football, which I was around for, was insane. They filled the Astrodome after a loss.
I knew about it in Wisconsin because of the way he played, though. I didn't know Dan Pastorini,
but
I knew I remember the epic ripping his jersey off, and he just kept going
on the
with
runs.
The tearaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way he pounded through defenders, that's why I remembered him, and I wasn't even in this town.
Right, and Francisco's like, Earl was beloved by the entire city, but I think his vote would go Akeem because it brought championships. Nestor said the same thing. It's a football town. Probably Earl would win.
And the other thing, and the caller makes a great point, because Lance and Bun B were talking about it this morning, and that is that there is that rivalry between Dallas and Houston, and when he's wearing that R on that plaque, anything that where you side with Dallas means Houston's going to be probably against you in some way. They're going to have a little bit of the red ass for you. Fair enough. Are you not speaking?
Concur.
I don't like when you get that little sheepish.
You were on point, and for a change, you were right. So I was just going to let you bask
I'm
in your own glory.
Right, Charlie, stop patronizing me. I mean, I'm always right. But you know what? Here's the thing. We haven't caught up since Monday. We were looking at the trade deadline as well. And I, as you like to point out to me when you do, I was listening to you on the way in this morning, and I thought for some of the calls that we've gotten in the past and something that is worth repeating, I'd like you to get kind of put in check some of the Houston fans that are all giddy about this LeBron to Houston thing coming up for next season as a possibility. And you poo-pooed on it very well this morning and put it into perspective. So I do want you to get to that. So why don't you want to do that now, or you want to hold off till after the break?
I am on the passenger side, Joel. My only request is no scrubs. You want to do it this segment?
What are you, TLC?
Fine, or you can go to the next segment?
You're TLC now? What are you, left eye? Right eye?
Oh, God, see, this is why...
Didn't end well for her, so...
No, I know.
This is why you can't be married to a nurse, because I was thinking, what's wrong with wearing scrubs?
All right, so we're going to get Charlie's breakdown of why...
Donald Faison, is that your show? You shouldn't get your hopes up
too high for LeBron to Houston. But in the meantime, as he does, he doesn't come alone. He comes with announcements. It's time for Charlie.
Your attention, please. RoofMD and General Contracting. We all like free stuff. If you are a homeowner, you should have your roof inspected annually. And since you can have it done by RoofMD and General Contracting absolutely free, well, there really is no alternative. Just call Mark Donaldson, the MD in RoofMD. There is no come hither, do this, and you get that. There is no obligation. It's a free roof inspection, period. And your roof is in good shape? Well, then you're all set. If not, of course, Mark would like your business. But you'll be with a company that's entirely Houston-owned and operated. Mark's a lifelong Houstonian and takes that seriously in terms of the work that he does in his hometown. No job too big or small, residential or commercial. And then there's the general contracting work like window replacement, chimney work, drywall repair, fencing, gutters, almost you name it. Great financing options as well, zero down 12 or 18 months, or low interest, longer term monthly payment plans. Free roof inspection, that could be the end of it for you, merely by calling 832-967-ROOF. 832-967-ROOF. For Mark and Roof MD in general contracting working. You heard that on ESPN 97.5.
All right, more with Charlie in just a minute. We're going to step away, take a break, come back with more, and take you up till 2 o'clock. Then Barry and I and Nick will take you home till 4, and then turn it over to the Blitz where they'll take you home till 7, all on one particular spot on the dial, 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Charlie Palillo with us up until 2 o'clock as we continue to roll through an F Yeah Friday with the comedic genius that is my co-host, and I do stress, wow, co-host, Barry Laminack.
Congrats who, on the promotion.
Yeah, was yeah, on the Isaiah genius, Factor genius last night, is headlining at the Joke Joint this weekend. So no better time than the present to promote some of his comedic expertise. If you haven't heard it in the past, we will be filling your ears with excerpts from what should be a stellar performance this weekend.
We hope. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Buddy Charlie's going to be there, I believe, Saturday night. Is that when you're
Charlie's
going?
Not going. It's okay.
I wasn't presented tickets.
Plenty of people aren't going, Charlie. You're in the majority.
Well, unless you're playing a venue that holds 6 million, don't take that personally.
Buddy said I'm going to pick Earl because he's got the best sausage.
Does he?
I'm just waiting on Joel.
Is it Nolan Ryan in the meat products business also?
Yes, he is.
Who do you think
has
been
the recurring Jim DeShays effort at humor last night in talking up Nolan?
What did he say?
That Bill Brown would note that Nolan Ryan struck out 5,714 batters. And Jim DeShays would say, yes, but he makes a very good steak. And then Bill Brown would say, and Nolan threw a record 7 no-hitters. And Jim DeShays would say, yes, but he makes the best steak in the United States. The writing budget was limited. It was the first
time. I guess yeah. So.
Whose meat would you rather eat, Charlie? Earl Campbell or Nolan Ryan?
Ha, 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 ha.
All right, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to get ready for tonight. I'm sorry.
All right, so before the break, I teased this, but I really did because Barry and I have kicked it around. We've gotten our share of calls. People are all trying to get into this whole thing about LeBron to Houston, but I really did think you broke it down very precisely this morning. So why don't you give us and the listeners a little bit of a reasons why you shouldn't get too giddy about the perceived thought that LeBron could come here next year.
Well, Chevy Chase might say, I was told there would be no math, but this is simple math. The cap's going to be 101. James Harden's over 30. Chris Paul's cap hold will be 36. So even if Chris Paul says, okay, I don't need a raise, I'll play for just $25 million. The Rockets have to get rid of Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, P.J. Tucker, and Nene, since I presume you do want to keep Capella. And then you have what are called empty slots, where you can't just have two guys on your roster and everything else is space. You're charged a minimum salary cap slot for every open spot on your roster up to and including 12. So if you have just Harden, Paul, and Capella, you gave everything else away. And the Rockets could not give away Ryan Anderson yesterday if they wanted to.
Right.
Well, that's about the only way you can get to a max space for LeBron because he's the higher max because he's been in the league for 10 years. So you need more than $35 million in space, and that's just not going to happen.
He's
to gut your whole team and then literally have a mid-level exception and minimum guys for the rest of your roster?
Yeah.
After Harden, Paul, LeBron, and
well,
Capella.
And we've said, too, there's been some times in the past when you know you're just whoever your superstar was that they are going regardless. So you try and do a sign and trade, but in most cases, you end up trying to do the team a second favor. Not only are they, you're doing them a favor because they're your best player is going to their team, which sucks, but then it's almost like insult to injury, and we'll take your crap back to try and make more space so it makes more sense for you. You're not doing anything for me.
And while LeBron is still great, and maybe with his new playmates, he'll start playing a little defense again, but the idea of going 4 years, $150 million for each Paul and LeBron when they'll be 36 and 37 years old at the end of those contracts, I'm not sure how appealing that is. You know, in the short term, it sounds phenomenal, but when you're almost literally gutting your team, Harden, Paul, Capella, and you have to give away everything else.
Now, one of the things that you might consider is actually, because the only thing you have that would be of interest to folks, I think, is Capella. And so in order to get him, they're probably going to have to take Ryan Anderson, because that's part of the deal to make it work, right? So you probably, and if you're going to add LeBron and you plan on going with a big three of LeBron, Harden, and Chris Paul.
Is that better than Curry?
What about Joe Chi? I mean, he's been being groomed like kind of similar to how Capella was. He's not quite getting as much playing time, but it's also not there. But they went out and got him for a reason. So it wouldn't be absolutely ridiculous to think that they could move Capella to clear that space as an incentive to take Ryan Anderson and then move him up next year and let him play with those big three.
Well, Capella would have to play ball because as a restricted free agent, someone's going to offer him $15 to $20 million per year. So Capella has no reason to tell the Rockets, yeah, trade me wherever you want. They have the tender out to him, but Capella's not going to take that tender. He's going to be a restricted free agent and bring an offer to the Rockets. You have 3 days to match this or I leave.
You got 72 hours, and you know teams aren't going to be – they're going to try to make the offer as quick as possible, right, too, especially if they know that you're trying to orchestrate this
deal. They're going to drive it
up. They're going to put you on the hot seat and go, now what are you going to do? Because now you got to go and either give Capella $17 to $20 million, and that'll screw up what you're working on, or you got to let him walk and we're going to get the guy we want because you're too focused on trying to get – LeBron here. And I would argue, Barry, that there is a little more value on the roster when you talk about how much Daryl has put into building the defensive side of the basketball. And you look at Mbah Mute, you look at a PJ Tucker. Most important out of everybody on that roster, though, to me is Eric Gordon would be a guy that a lot of teams would want because as long as he stays healthy, and that is a big if, but that has been somewhat cured by the time he's been here. Knock on wood, he's not serious with his back injury. But there's a guy with the proven Sixth Man of the Year award and everything else, a true shooter, a scorer. This is a guy that would help a lot of teams.
It's fun to play fantasy stat ball, and we all like to play coach and general manager and so forth, but this is reality. While the Harden-Paul mesh has been fantastic, if you add a ball-dominating LeBron, is there enough to divide it up three ways?
Yeah.
And I'd be much more into the move mountains, sell off everything you can to make it happen. If the Rockets were 30 and 23 and a decent little team, but we know their upside's not that up, they are 40 and 13. Right? Golden State looks in the rear view and sees the sign. Objects may be closer than they appear.
Well, and
they may have a shot this season.
No question.
And I brought up the fact yesterday after watching the last game with Isaiah and LeBron on the floor that when you look at it, LeBron doesn't do well with a ball-dominant point guard. It didn't work with Kyrie Irving. It didn't work with Isaiah Thomas. So now you're going to put him on a team with two ball-dominant point guards when he's used to bringing up and the offense running through him. So I'm with you in that regard. And to your point about Eric Gordon, you're spot on because not only does he have value, but he's a bench guy on this team. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean the other teams don't view him as a starter. He was a starter before he got here.
And except for
you're right, he does have a ton of value.
Except for a few garbage teams this summer, there's not going to be a whole lot of cap space around the league. Eric Gordon at $13 million is a way better value than Ryan Anderson at $20 million. Makes Eric Gordon much more tradable.
You don't see the extreme value in $20 million a year for Ryan Anderson?
Yeah, he's a nice role player. And look, the whole league went crazy 2 years ago, but Daryl Morey and the Rockets had to make additions, especially knowing D'Antoni was coming in. But Anderson's contract is now ridiculous at over $20 million per year for two more years. So you almost need to divorce his salary from his role on the team. He's been kind of this season. He was better last year. But the floor spacing, because he can spot up 3 feet behind the arc, he does have value. But if Sacramento had traded George Hill or offered George Hill for Ryan Anderson, you're worried about breaking up this team's chemistry and all that. But to get out of that second year of Anderson's contract for a better three-point shooter with 1 year left. But George Hill, like seemingly everyone else traded, is now with Cleveland. Cavaliers won the deadline for this season.
No question.
Oh, yeah, where LeBron is concerned. How about the Cavaliers greasing the skids? If LeBron leaves, he's going to Hollywood for his on-court and off-court interest because Magic now has room for two max guys.
And Barry said,
it's almost
like, yeah, a little handshake deal on the side going, hey, you know, we're going to try and do our best to keep him, but if we don't, at least we've kind of done you a favor, too, in the process of unloading some of your salary so that you can make it possible.
I mean, I think any thinking Thunder fans now are producing bricks over the idea of Paul George now having max room to go with LeBron max out to L.A.
Yeah.
A Lakers team that, by the way, has won 11 of its last 16.
They're playing
great. Now, you said that they won the deadline, but do you think they won the deadline? See, I think L.A. did. Because L.A.
as the long-term plan, I'm talking about for this season.
Oh, yeah,
the only team that made itself potentially measurably better. I mean, it's like they're having training camp for 2 months now.
Yeah.
Fit in George Hill can play. Leads the NBA in three-point shooting this season. Rodney Hood has had a couple huge games against the Rockets. Dwayne Wade, no defense, no three-point shooting. Hey, Isaiah Thomas, he's only been back a month, but he has the hip of a 75-year-old woman. He has sucked. And for him to be the guy running his mouth, we make no adjustments. The players all pull apart. So addition by subtraction, I think just getting rid of Isaiah Thomas. And Derrick Rose, if you cut him now, it's not blood, it's formaldehyde. So the Cavaliers tremendously upgraded in their potential now to again win the East. To win the whole thing? No, you take either the Rockets or Warriors over them right now. But 2 months from now, and 95 Rockets. The Cavaliers, if they get there, they're going to be rolling and still improving because of the additions they've made to their roster. The Rockets had a losing record in the regular season with Clyde in 95 after the Valentine's Day trade. I think they were 16-17. But then the comeback against Utah and the snowball started gathering and like went from snowball to avalanche by the end of the finals.
Yeah,
I'm not predicting that for Cleveland, but at least there are now connectable dots as opposed to a team that had evidently completely quit, maybe in part on LeBron, knowing he had one foot out the door.
And the reason why I would say they won it, too, is because of the fact that nothing is given in this world. And so you know that the Lakers at least have opportunities, but you don't know what those opportunities are going to go into or turn into. But at the same time, what was inevitable for this Cavaliers team had they not done anything or done very little was going to be they were going to crap the bed. They were going to be a complete disaster come playoff time. And it really set the table for LeBron leaving and giving the Lakers that opportunity. What they did, and because of the fact that when everybody knew they had to do it, which is why I thought it was almost impossible because everybody was going to try and fleece them and no one was going to make a fair deal, was reconstruct half of a roster, but more importantly, the entire locker room, and at least give them a chance.
And keep that Nets pick if they get a lucky lottery ball.
Yeah, and the other thing to Barry's point, which was great before we wrap it up with you, was the reason why, like you said, it's valuable for Eric Gordon and he's coming off the bench. Isaiah Thomas has already gone to the Lakers and his agent has said he won't come off the bench. He's going to start here. He could go to a contender because you already know I don't have to deal with that aspect of it. I can put him in a sick man role and it'd be perfect.
Yeah. And don't sleep on the fact that not doing anything can win you the trade deadline too. The fact that the Rockets and the Warriors didn't disrupt their team and their chemistry could be just as significant as what the Cavs did.
If you're holding a full house, no need to change your cards.
Yeah.
And the other thing is for the GM that has a pretty good ego and likes to take pride in the fact he made a move every trade deadline, for him to eat that one and swallow it to make sure that he didn't disrupt that team, I give him credit because he does like those kind of things, and he avoided. And, again, now he's out there today saying whether we get one or two, we think the buyout market's going to be great, and that's exactly what they need, just a little bit of an upgrade.
One more guard, just in case something goes wrong with Paul or Harden, and both guys have missed some time this season. One more NBA-level point guard above the Demetrius Jacksons, Breonte Weber, Bobby Brown types they've been carrying. But not essential.
I think they need help
not
up front.
Not essential.
I think they won't need one more front court player because you can't trust Nene's health, and he doesn't trust Tarik Black. So
that was an odd signing, to give him the whole biannual, $3.5 million.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We want you to have a great weekend. And then, of course, we'll catch up with you on the flip side on Monday. Charlie will be back. But like I said, catch the Charlie Polillo Show. It is from 11 to 1 every day, Monday through Friday, on our sister station, Sports Map 94.1. And for Barry, Nick, and I, we're going to take a quick break, come back with hour number two of The Usual Suspects right around the corner on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.